Blog Talk Radio.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
Well, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. Every Wednesday night, you're going to hear me say that, glory to God, because the Bible is right. Amen. And I keep affirming it because I know it's true. I look in the Bible and I'm just floored by the wisdom that's in the Bible. Of all the hundreds of books that I've read in my life and heard about and places I've been and read so many things, the Bible is by and far, so far above anything else that was ever approached. The Bible is absolutely right, glory to God, and I'm glad about it. I'm glad that we have some place to turn to for right answers, glory to God. We can look in the Word of God and find right answers, and man today needs right answers, glory to God. Well, before we start, I want to spend just a moment on last Sunday. I had the privilege of bringing the word at a guest church, and the Lord gave me the message, if you got trouble, call on Jesus. And a lot of times I've found, and the congregation has found, that when the Lord brings a word, invariably the very next week, things come up to confirm that God was way ahead of us. He knew what was coming, so he gave us a word ahead of time. And this time it was just so. I have never in my life, when the Lord said, if you got trouble, call on Jesus. He wasn't funny. Things started breaking down. All kinds of things started happening. Glory to God. And I thought back and said, Lord, I'm so thankful that you gave us the word before all of this stuff started breaking out. That if you got trouble, call on Jesus. I've even had friends. My phone, I have a smartphone, so it gets real smart on me sometimes. It self-dials. And it just so happened that today it self-dialed a friend of mine. And when I picked up the phone, I thought he was calling me, but my phone was calling him, and he was relating to me. He said, hey, hi. He said, Pastor. He said, excuse me. He said, but a friend, we had to go to the emergency room. My friend's in intensive care, friend or family member, is in intensive care. And I thought, my goodness. The Lord said, if you got trouble, and here I'm calling up, my phone called up a friend. He got trouble. Somebody had to go to ICU. Amen. And then when I was going to text it out to everybody on the list. I was going to text that word out that God gave me. If you got trouble, call on Jesus. And the text failed. The technology failed. I had trouble. I couldn't get it out. I couldn't get it out to people. And then my AC unit went out on me. It went out. I mean, it's incredible. God is so right on time. He knew what was coming this week. And so he let us know, if you got trouble, call on Jesus. Why he say that? Because many times when people have trouble, people call up other people, their friends, to commiserate with them. Or they'll call mama, or they'll drop on their knees and they'll talk to God. But that wasn't the specific instructions we got. The specific instructions, and I want to give it to you and let you know, because I believe, glory to God, that the devil not only attacks folks in my church and friends, but that he's out there harassing you. Amen? And so God gave us the answer. I want to pass it on to you. If you got trouble, please don't forget to call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Amen? Yeah, but I'm reading my Bible. No, you're fine. Call on Jesus. I'm sure there's a lot of things that you will do. There's a lot of other things that you will do. And I'm not trying to take that away from you. Do those things. But I'm also telling you, glory to God, whatever you do, remember to get in your car and close the door so nobody hear you, or go out to the park or go wherever you are in a private space and call on Jesus. Call on. And in fact, I was reading a story in the Bible. And I think it was King David that was in trouble. Something was going on. And it said in the text, I had forgot that it was in the text. It said he was in trouble, and it said David called on the Lord. I said, boy, that's just what God gave us in service. And God turned the thing around because David called on the Lord. And I'm trying to get the word out to as many people as I can, glory to God, that if you got trouble this week and on into the future, call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. A lot of people may say, but Pastor, I already know that. Yeah, they know that, but that ain't the same thing as doing it. You can know a whole lot of things, but are you doing a whole lot of things? Amen? But the Lord reminded us, and I just want to give it to you and remind you, please, if you got trouble, glory to God. This came by the Spirit of God. If you got trouble, glory to God, call on Jesus. Don't forget to call on Jesus. And then my wife was feeling bad, something where she was not feeling herself, glory to God. But we anointed her with oil and prayed, and the Lord was merciful and fixed it. Amen? Glory to God. We remembered what he said, to call on him. So we called on him. Amen? I know I did, glory to God. And glory to God, things were turned around because we called on him. Amen? And so there's times when, you know, they used to, I was listening to this evangelist. They were giving some, they were teaching on the radio. And he said that he would go from city to city to pray for individual cities, pray that God would raise up workers to go, laborers to go into his harvest. And he said for each individual city, he had to ask God what to do for that city, what the utterance was for that city, what he should speak over that city. And he said each city was different. You couldn't use what you did, what you called over Chicago for New York, or what you called over New York for Minneapolis, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Because you have different powers and principalities, different principalities in different places. And what you say to one set of principalities and it works there, you may go to another set of principalities and it won't work there because it's a whole different setup. Amen? Glory to God. And so when God says call on him for this particular time, now it doesn't mean that you didn't call on him before, neither will you call on him after. But that's neither here nor there. The point is the Lord was saying, glory to God, that if we had anybody, if we had trouble this particular time and this time, if you got trouble out there, call on Jesus. Yeah, Pastor, but I know that. Yeah, but have you done it? Have you done it? You know, in the book, Spiritual Recipes, on the website, me and my wife have four free books. They're free. You just go and on the I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church.org website, and you get to this four click books, and you can read the book on the screens or you can download them to your or to your printer, and they're free, no charge for them. And you can go in there and get fantastic information about spiritual warfare. And in the book, Spiritual Warfare Recipes, Glory to God, which the Holy Ghost gave us specifically, I talk about one of the techniques, spiritual warfare techniques, is calling on God, talking to God, calling out to God, crying out to God, crying out to God. And in there I explained a phenomenon that worked for me every time. There's times in my life, they're far and in between, but there's still times in my life when I just get burdened about something and I got to go talk to the Lord about it. And the technique is you get in your car or wherever, someplace where it's private. Why? Because you're going to talk to the Lord, but it isn't going to be like prayer on your knees. Prayer on your knees, you're kind of being theological. You're saying it in the right way. You're being all kind of, right, if you will. But this technique, crying out to God, this is a little bit different. You go somewhere where nobody will hear you. Now, that's what I used to do. I used to work for a major airline, and I used to get in my tractor, and airports have millions of acres because planes fly over them. So I used to take the tractor and go way out there on the field where nobody could hear me and park the tractor and walk back and forth and talk to God. Now the technique is a little different. When you cry out to God, what you do is you talk to him, and you don't pray silent. You talk to him, and you tell him exactly how you feel. I hope you heard what I said. I didn't say you talk to him about what you think. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about venting. You're venting out to God. But the technique works when you do the following. You talk out loud to God, but you tell him in ordinary, plain, straight-up language. You tell him exactly how you feel. You don't put it in theological terms. You don't try to impress him. You have to be brutally honest. You have to be brutally honest and thoroughly sincere. And I'll give you an example. Somebody was bugging me, and I went. I had to cry out to God about it because it was bothering me so bad. And as I walked back and forth, I said, God, you have to help me. I can't take it no more. If this person says that to me again, I'm going to smack them. I can't take it. I'm a Lord, you know me. I'm going to lose it. I can't help it. Father, you got to help me. I have taken all I can. I can't take no more. You just got to help me, Father. See, now that's being brutally frank. That's telling them how you feel. Don't use theology. Don't try to impress him. Tell him exactly what's on your heart and let it just flow out. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let it come out, vent out. Tell him everything, but tell him in ordinary, everyday words. Don't try to get all deep and highfalutin. Thou greatest Father in the heavens, you have created the heavens and the earth, and everything bows down their knee to you. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. You don't do that. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you get out and you talk to him and say, Father, they keep sending me these bills. I done paid this thing. These crazy people keep sending these things to me. I'm asking you to stop, to fix this thing for me. I'm about to lose it, Lord. You got to help me with this one. I just can't take this anymore. These crazy people. You see what I'm saying? You talk to him straight up. Amen. You talk to him straight up about the problem. When it comes to him, you reverence him. But when you talk about the problem, you talk about it in plain, ordinary words. But you tell him exactly how you feel. And you don't hold anything back. Amen. You don't hold anything back. You tell him exactly how you feel. And I have never done that and not had God to move. He's always moved when I cried out to him. So if you got trouble, call on Jesus. If you got trouble, call on Jesus. I'm up against a break. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
Beloved, if you got trouble, call on Jesus. That's what the Holy Ghost gave us Sunday. That's what the Holy Ghost gave us Sunday. I pray that you'll follow instructions. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're in Proverbs, the 14th chapter. We're at the 34th verse. Glory to God. And the 34th verse says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, if you were meditating this scripture, if you've been taught the right way to meditate, and the right way to meditate for Christians is to meditate in the Word. In Eastern meditation, they want you to empty out your mind and clear out all different kind of thoughts, and they give you a mantra to speak, and supposedly that and clearing your mind, you're supposed to do that until you reach a state of nirvana, whatever that is. They teach you to empty your mind, but that's not Christian meditation. If you go into the Psalms, you'll see where David said, I meditated in thy word. Amen. Glory to God. You'll find that Christian meditation is meditating in the word. And so if we were doing Christian meditation, and what is that, Pastor? What you do is you take a verse of scripture and you meditate on each verse and try to pull out as much information about that word or verse that you can. And if you meditate this verse, you would get to, for instance, the first two words, righteousness. And so you would meditate on everything you know about righteousness, which is extensive. Amen. Righteousness, that is someone who is in right standing with God. I'll give you a quick lesson. We just did 3 Sabbath day studies on righteousness, and going to do some more. It's very extensive subject, but in the Word it talks about the armor of righteousness. And once you know that because of Jesus Christ, and you're depending on His finished work at the cross, glory to God, and you know that that's what puts you in right standing, then because you're righteous, because you're made righteous in Him, glory to God, the Bible says here, you just go to the first two words, righteousness exalteth. And that's exactly right. Because once you know that you're right because of what Jesus Christ did at the cross, and because you're baptized into the body of Christ, you're baptized into Him, and that puts you in right standing, that exalts you, amen? You're exalted with God, amen? Now, here the context is righteousness exalteth a nation, and we'll get to that. But there can be, you can see many different things in a verse when you meditate the verse. And so I'm talking about the individual, first of all. And you being in right standing with God exalts you. When you look in the Bible and you see the richness that you have in Christ, all the things that you have in Christ, you have forgiveness of sins, you have no condemnation, you're justified in Him. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free and causes you to be alive. And the Bible says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You're alive in him. Amen. When you look at, and we gave maybe 20 or 30 scriptures that showed folk how the some of the riches that they had in Jesus Christ. And all that exalts you. Amen. That puts you above other men because you're a son or daughter of the living God. And then it exalts you with God. He, because you're in right standing with him, because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you got saved and born again, all of that exalts you before God. So you're exalted before God, and you're exalted before men, and knowing all of that is armor. The Bible talks about the armor of righteousness. And then when the enemy comes and tries to tell you that you're not this or you're not that or you're failing or you're no good, you're not depending on your righteousness. You're depending on the righteousness that's in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's armor. He can't penetrate what's always been already been done. Satan cannot destroy what's already been done. And Christ defeated him at the cross and redeemed us. Amen. And we have forgiveness of sins and are redeemed. Amen. Glory to God. And so all of that exalts us and helps us. But in the context of, and in the context of a nation, because this says righteousness exalteth a nation. What that means? What that means is when justice and when fairness is done in a nation, that exalts the nation. There's something about living in a moral, righteous, upright nation. You feel good. I mean, in the 1940s and 50s, for instance, when America felt like they were right, they had done a lot of things. They had won the war, World War II. They were helping out a lot of people around the world, rebuild after the war. They were taking in a lot of people who were desperate. They had pretty good court systems, etc. America was thought of as a moral nation. Amen. Glory to God. But part B of verse 34 says, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. When a nation doesn't take bribes, you go to some nation. In fact, I was listening to a gentleman today on a radio, and he's from Nigeria. And he was talking about the corruption. He said, I've never been there, so I don't know. I can only take what he said. He said the whole place is corrupt. If you want to go down a highway, you get to the roadblock, you give them a bribe, you can get by. You want to do something, you give them a bribe, you can do by. You take a plane, you want your luggage, you give them a bribe, you get your luggage. I assume if you don't get your luggage. I don't know. I've never been there. But he was talking about how that corruption has taken the nation down. And they were talking about that it's one of the most richest nations because of its oil. But another thing about Nigeria, and I'm not picking on Nigeria, we're just talking. It was said that because they have hardly no employment, that I said that some Nigerians have become scammers, and particularly over the internet and over the phones. They've resorted to scamming because they have no job. So in order to get money, that's how some of them, I didn't say all, resort. See, now that's a reproach. That's a reproach to their nation. The word gets out that, you know, you're not an upright nation. But when you have courts that are honest and just, and when you have institutions that try to live morally, of course you're not going to have perfect nation, perfect agencies and perfect people. But you know what I'm saying? Or you have law and order. Generally, you have law and order. You don't have corruption. You don't have bribes. For the most part, you understand what I'm saying. You have a police department that serves the people instead of, it's a police department. There's some countries, the police department think their job is to extort the people. And that's all they do is extort the people. They think that that's their job. They don't get paid. So in order to get a salary or get anything, they extort the people. You pay me or you go to jail on some trumped up charge. And see, that's a reproach. That's a reproach to any people. And one of the major functions of a government, because they have police and they have military, is to cut back as much as they can on corruption. Make sure that the courts are administered fairly. Make sure that justice prevails in a nation. Amen? And we see this if you go to Deuteronomy 26:16, glory to God, God talks about that if people live his way, he'll exalt them. Deuteronomy 26:16 says, glory to God, this day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgment. Thou shalt therefore do and keep them with all thine heart and with all thine soul. And verse 18, the Lord hath avouched this day for you to be his peculiar people, as he has promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, to make thee high above all nations. God says if you keep his commandments, he'll make you high above all nations. Amen? Glory to God. And America at one time was known for being a moral nation. Women wore dresses all the way up to the neck and all the way down to the ankle. Amen? For the most part. If you go to Turner Classic Movies or you look at movies from the 20s, it's amazing. All the men wore slack shirts, ties, jackets, and almost all of them had hats on. And the women were dressed. And now in our century, it's the exact opposite. People want to take off all their clothes. And women are walking around in pantyhose. And I thought that was something. I happened to be at the mall today, and a young man walked in, and he had on pantyhose. He had on pantyhose and an undershirt, a regular. You take your dress shirt off, and under there is your undershirt. He had his undershirt on with pantyhose on, with flip flop, with sandals. Yeah, I guess that's what they would call it. And I could not believe my eyes. It's bad enough that the women are walking around naked and they redefine pantyhose and call them leggings. I don't care if you redefine it. It's still pantyhose. But this man had on pantyhose. And I just my goodness. Amen. And then in America, we passed a law that men can marry men. And women can marry women. Amen? Glory to God. Morally, America is falling out of the chair. Morally, America, where we had superiority and we were looked up and we were exalted. Now people can't understand America. They debate whether they want to send their children here for education because they don't want them to come back a drug addict or dope-ridden. I mean, we have lost our reputation. We had a reputation, and I don't mean to say we were perfect now, but we had a reputation of being basically a moral nation. That's gone right out the window. Amen? Now, and the only nation in 6,000 years of human history to make gay marriage is legal. There might have been always homosexuality. I don't know. But I do know that folks didn't make it legal. Whatever you did privately. But America, in its great wisdom, has now made it legal. Amen? They made sin legal. It's legal now. And we've lost our moral compass and our moral bearings. Glory to God. So righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Glory to God. Well, this has been Pastor Williams. Glory to God. The Bible is right. Glory to God. God bless you and keep you. Remember what the Holy Ghost said. If you got trouble, call on Jesus. If you got trouble, don't sit there. Don't sit there. Call on Jesus. God bless you. See you next Wednesday. Bye-bye now.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.